Hello, BBS Radio. Welcome to Monday night's conference call. This is Marilyn speaking. Ron was here a few minutes ago. It's open mic night tonight.
Hi, Catherine from California.
Hi, welcome to the call.
Reading night.
What did you say your name was?
Raiden, Mexico.
Welcome. Hello.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
Hey, Tom.
Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
He left. He took this off. I don't know how he's.
I have no idea how he's doing.
Okay. All right.
We're greeting people, BBS Radio people. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're waiting for Wynn and Terry.
And it seems that...
Good evening. Welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Marilyn. This is Marilyn in Oxford. How are you?
Hi, Marilyn.
Good. Ron was greeting when I came on, so I don't know where he went. Good evening. Welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city. Only if you want to.
Hello, Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Shirley. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, Colleen.
Several people came in at the same time. Speak up when you get a chance.
This is Bonnie.
Janine from Salt Lake.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
And I heard a Bonnie.
Yes.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Colleen.
No, this is Marilyn.
Marilyn, hello.
Hello. I haven't heard Colleen, actually. Ron was on when I called in.
Yeah, he was.
And
he was on.
I haven't heard Ron either. Good evening. Welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, it's Colleen from Vancouver.
There's Colleen.
Hi, who's
Colleen. This is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Oh, hi, Marilyn.
Hi. Are you supposed to be the greeter?
Yes, and I had to go somewhere, and I totally forgot. I just remembered now. It's like,
oh.
But thanks for doing it. Thanks
okay,
for...
that's okay. Go ahead, take over.
Oh, okay. And some more people just joined us. Do you want to state your name and city, please? Hi, welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city, please?
Hi, it's Jennifer from Cincinnati.
Hi. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
We're on live with BBS, Colleen.
Oh, good. Thanks. Welcome, yep. BBS. Everyone that's on the line for BBS, welcome. Hi. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Do you want to state your name and city?
Carol from Philadelphia.
Hi. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Pretty good. I'm here.
Did you say your name was Carol?
C-H. Cheryl.
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 Oh, okay.
Cheryl.
Sorry.
No problem.
Hi, this is Terry calling in.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, hi. Wynn will be here in a minute.
Oh, good.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So I guess he's going to have an open mic tonight.
Yes.
Oh. Well, we always have things to talk about.
It's nice to hear from everyone.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
It's nice when you talk too, Terry.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I've been talking a little more.
I noticed. It's great.
Hey, didn't David Wilcock have like something on Coast to Coast recently?
Yeah, he was on last week.
Yeah, was he on with Greer?
Who?
He was talking about
his name Greer or Gear.
Stephen Greer.
Yes, that's it.
I don't know, I forgot to listen to the show, so.
He was actually talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. He was talking about that.
Really?
He was talking about that?
Yeah.
David Wilcox was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's neat.
We're all shocked, aren't we, Terry?
Yeah. Stunned.
No one more surprised than Wynn will be.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, boy. That's good.
Did he say positive things?
Well, I just read over it, and I didn't really hear it and listen to what he said, but I just read over the thing on the page, and it just said that that he was talking about reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Yeah.
That's unusual.
You can find that.
Very. Hi, welcome to the call.
Hi.
Do you want to say your name and city?
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Hello,
Wynn.
Welcome.
I'm calling in.
Welcome to our call.
Yeah, John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John. Do you want to mute the... Can someone mute the ding, please? Because I'm not at a computer.
Okay. I don't think you can...
Or you can just do it on the phone, right?
Yeah, you can do it on the phone.
Okay, we are muted, and thank you, Colleen, for being
well,
there.
Actually, thanking Marilyn because I was late. I had to drive to Vancouver, and I was late, so she pitched in.
Thank you, Marilyn. Okay.
Yes, that's me.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Wynn. But before me, Ron was on. He was. He greeted me.
Oh, okay.
So it's a group effort.
So everybody had a turn.
I think Marilyn is a great greeter. Okay. She has the most distinctive voice.
Well, I greeted BBS, so they were pleased.
Everybody, you're all great. But I'm just giving Marilyn support since she did it today. Was it fun, Marilyn?
It was very much fun, Wynn. Thank you.
All right. Good.
I will be happy to greet any time you'd like.
We will put you on the list of greeters.
Okay? All right.
And let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And let's see, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I'm here. Yes.
Are you using the new headset?
Yes, I am. How does it sound?
It sounds pretty good. You know, it's not as good as the other one, but it's certainly really good for, you know, it's certainly adequate, you know. if you were channeling, I'd have you put on the other one because it's a little better. But this is pretty darn good for, okay. you know, we've gone through how many Bluetooth headsets looking for. I have a jar full of Bluetooth headsets trying to figure out which one has the best quality. And we pretty much have nailed it. But I found one that I have been using. Should I record this? No, I'm not going to record it. We found, the one that was best was the one that was like a boom headset. It goes over your ears and then has a boom microphone, and that had the best sound. And the ones that go in your ear never were as good as a boom, except for one which was almost as good, which is what Terry is using today. And so we were testing it to see if she would bond with it. because no matter what you think in advance, you never know, okay? And she bonded with it. She liked it, okay? Now, you know, we're going to do an open mic tonight. Last time we did an open mic, I think I blabbed the whole time. So I'm not going to blab. Let me tell people, if you want to call in and you're listening on the internet and you want to call in on BBS, you can, okay? And write this down. Are you ready? 888-429-5471. And 888-429-5471. And another number is 323-744-4841. 323-744-4841. And one of the things I hope people will comment on is how they liked this new idea that we're doing on the Sunday calls, which is where we are using Google Maps and looking at areas while we're sending energy to them, including your own homes. And thus far, for me, it feels really good. And our sources said it was really good. And they said, now we're looking down on things the way you look down on them. And or they look down on them, okay? So it's really interesting to know your feedback. You know, I know one person told me that they thought things got worse in their home after they did it, okay? And, you know, that is a possibility. One of the things I think that happens in this work is that some of you may have observed this. It's not necessarily just all feel good. It surfaces things in you to come up. It kind of shines a light on some of the shadows. And when things come up, it's like they're up for processing. And it's much better that something comes up than stays in the background. Because when it's in the background, when you have things like trauma, hurt, issues, unresolved issues with your parents, or lack of forgiveness for people that have done you in, when they come up, it's not just mentally that they come up. It's not like mentally you say, oh, that's my parents. It's like oftentimes the pain of the situation comes up. And you have to sit and endure the pain as it processes itself. And then over a period of time, it lets go and you're over it. But there is a period where you go back and forth. You're creating a new space or a new timeline or a new energy or a new expansion in yourself. And then you go back to the old way. Maybe when you first go back, it's even worse than it was normally because it's more on the surface. Most people have all of these things not on the surface, but buried way deep. And they don't even know why they feel the way they feel. They're walking around, and of course, they're somewhat mindless. And when you talk to them, they're pretty contracted, and they have repressed things, and they don't even know it, though. You know, what happens with repressed stuff is that it seems like it's you. There's a feeling that, well, I'm just this way. And it's not you. It's things that have been added to you, whether it's things that are traumatic or whether it's attachments or whatever. It's things that have been added to your true essence, because your true essence is love. Your true essence is sovereignty. Your true essence is beautiful. And we add things to our essences over many lifetimes, and then they just start being there, and we take them for granted. We think it's us. We think there's no way out of it. I certainly felt that way for the longest time. I had things that were huge obstacles in me that I thought were me. And I believe in my observation of how this works for people, one of the things that happens, I mean, it works differently for everybody, so this may not fit you, but one of the things that happens for many people is they get an experience of being, geez, did I start the tape recorder? No. Oh, God. What
this conference
doing?
Is being recorded.
This is December 14th, 2015. And this is an open mic.
December 14th.
December 14th. That's what I said, right? Yeah.
Okay.
And we're just talking about how being on these calls helps surface stuff that's hidden and helps you process it. But it doesn't happen all at once. You know, oftentimes I think when people first come into a call, first discover us, they have kind of an astral epiphany. They, you know, they say, well, these guys are saying all the right things. This is something I've been looking for. And then you start keeping coming, and you realize that it's more than that. It's that there's an energy here. There's an energy here that sets a reference point of a higher timeline, of a view of things above the view where you're stuck in your garbage. So now you have that experience of that view, but your garbage hasn't disappeared. It's still there. Now the garbage starts to come up and surface. And it's like in alternative medical things, they call it a healing crisis, because it works the same thing with alternative medicine, where oftentimes when something does something that is really good for them, the first thing that happens is something that's unpleasant. And they have to go through the unpleasantness, which in alternative medicine is called a healing crisis. And so the same thing happens spiritually, that when you come across something that really taps into your essence, it surfaces the garbage. And then when the garbage surfaces, if you understand the process, you will welcome it and bless it, because you'll understand that this work is not causing that. It's only bringing it up. Otherwise, it's like all in your unconscious, invisible levels, and it's affecting and impacting your whole being, and you don't know it. It's keeping you contracted. It's keeping you dumb. It's keeping you dogmatic. And your real nature is not that. Your real nature is love. It is really love. Every one of you who's listening. And when you're not in that loving space, then you have to figure out, what do I have to do to move into it? And then you'll move into it, and you'll move back, and you'll move into it, and you'll move back. Because very rarely does someone just do a quantum leap, and suddenly everything is perfect. They have an experience, and then they go back and forth. And, you know, as you're going back and forth, you have to learn how to accept the going back and forth. And when you're in a contracted space, you have to know how to relate to the contracted space, not to judge yourself, not to think you should be something else, you know, to learn how to ride that space as well as the expanded space, because the contracted space is part of helping you process. And it works that way in relationships. When you have a relationship with someone, there will be times when it's all really great, and then it goes into a contracted space. And oftentimes when it goes into a contracted space, people start blaming each other. Like, it feels like the other person is denying them the feeling of being loved. And that may be the case. Sometimes people do that as a way to try to control people. But more often, it's just that it's time to go back in your own corner for a little bit and regroup, and then go back into the relationship. Because a relationship can give you lots of energy. Two people can give each other energy, but they're not jukeboxes, so to speak. You can't just put a quarter in and it starts to play. There has to be the presence of spirit or spontaneity, because you can't force a person to give you energy unless you're negative. And even then it doesn't work, because it doesn't last. It's only a short burst, and then it's needing something else and needing something else. That's the problem with the service to self negative. It's insatiable in its need for energy, and it just keeps burning through things and trying to you know, build a platform of energy underneath it from stealing it from people, tricking people, whatever, turning them into automatons. It doesn't matter. That's the game, and it doesn't work. It only gives a moment of gratification, but it does not stick. So in any case, I am going to now open up for our open mic, and let's see if I unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
How many people are noisy? Let me see here. Okay. Anybody want to make a comment on the Sunday grid healing? And the let me get rid of some of these people making noise. Hang on. Okay, we got rid of one of them. Sounds pretty quiet. Anyone want to make a comment of the experience of using Google Maps on the Sunday call?
Well, I do. This is John. I had a very positive experience. Someone who I contacted for a job 2 weeks ago just gave me at least a short gig anyway for tomorrow. So it definitely had a very, very positive experience on the whole valley here. I could feel it.
Okay. Now, you didn't move your Google Map view to that company that gave you a job, did you?
It was the whole entire valley, actually.
Okay, so they were in there, right? Okay, great.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say that was a direct thing, but I will say that, you know, you keep coming to the calls, and you know, I know, I observe your, I know, John, we talk. I observe his processing, and he drives people crazy, but he's really sweet. But he goes into his own stuff and puts it out, and everyone is aware of it. He's probably becoming aware of it now. So thanks, John. Does that make sense to you, John?
Yeah, of course.
All right. You know, and you could probably do a seminar on processing stuff and how it worked for you. Okay. Who else has something they'd like to share?
I have a question. This is May from Concord.
Yeah.
You forgot to turn the recorder on when you were giving that phone number, which I was going to get later on the recall. Could you repeat that again?
Okay, let me see here. The phone number is... Now, Sunday call is going to stay the same, all right?
I didn't hear
you. Sunday, as far as I know, is not going to change.
Okay.
And the Monday and Wednesday are going to change.
Monday and Wednesday.
The new number is 641-715-3655. Okay? 641-715-3655.
And the recall number is the same?
They didn't actually give it to me. I'm sure the replay line is going to change as well.
Okay.
So, I'll wait till I get it. You know, quite frankly, I tried calling that number and putting in tonight's access code. And it didn't work. They said the access code was not good. So they haven't switched it yet. So I'm going to pay very close attention because for some reason it's not working. Wednesday morning, I'm going to change the whole number, the whole access code, and be done with it, okay? Because we'll see if they do their part of it. Okay, thanks. Thanks for being here. Okay? Anyone else? Would you like to share anything else, by the way, before we go to other people? No. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we'll just sit here.
Okay, I have another question. This is May from Concord. If you do not have internet service, is there a way to get on that team thing where you have groups of five or six in your area where people can do positive things?
Yes, yes. You have no internet service at all?
Not at the moment. If I'm well, I can go to the library, but a lot of times I can't drive because I'm too dizzy and I don't want to kill anyone.
That is very kind of you.
Good for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm dizzy, too.
The best, you're dizzy, too. All right. Supposedly, people are saying dizziness is an ascension symptom, okay? So, there's some days when I've been dizzy. But in any case, yes. But you know what? If you look on our page for wellness tendons, okay?
It's called wellness.
Oh wait, you can't do it. I'll tell you what. Write this phone number down.
Okay.
And just call someone up and say, could you refer me to Team Shift? And then we will refer you to Edna or Colleen, who will give you a phone call. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
yeah, I could pass it on to Edna if you know.
Yeah.
As well.
Right.
So.
Well, we can just do it by phone. I'm giving her our public number, and I don't want to give Edna or your private number on this call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I get it.
So then she'll call, give her number, and then I'll pass it on to you, and you guys can do your magic. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So the number is 805-267-9263.
805-267-9263.
Right. Right.
Thank you.
And there's a good chance that Terry will answer the phone.
Okay.
We use that number. Don't go into shock if Terry answers the phone. Okay.
Excuse me for a second. Wynn, can you mute the person that is listening to the BBS radio broadcast and talking on the conference call as well?
Well, you know what? I'm just trying to figure out my console. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay. Let's see if it's this person here.
Can't you just announce whoever's listening to their radio mute? Isn't that easy enough to do?
Oh, it's easy enough to announce it, but...
Well, you're saying you're not listening.
They're probably listening two different places, but they say...
Yeah, they're listening to the BBS radio on the internet and then talking on the phone as well.
One of the things I've learned over a long history of being human is that it's far easier to adjust myself than to adjust anyone else. Okay. So we can actually mute people individually if I'm paying attention to our console. And so I did, and now it's quiet.
Thank you.
All right? Okay. Anyone else?
This is Colleen. I just wanted to say that, staring at the top of my house for more than 10 minutes, then now it's kind of like embedded in my head. So anytime I want to do that, I can just bring up that picture.
And you have energy coming in through your ceilings, right?
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, you know, is there anybody, first of all, you can talk about anything. Anyone have any synchronicity or miracle or anything they want to share that's happened to them in the last few months? Healing. Good, nothing works.
I have an announcement, but it's not a synchronicity or anything.
Who are we speaking to?
This is Robert, North Carolina.
Okay, Robert, go ahead.
Hey, I was here on the line earlier, and I mentioned to some of the people here that I just glanced over it, but it looked like David Wilcock was talking on Coast to Coast about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So, I don't know if that's even relevant.
I wouldn't put it past him, okay? David had a very... David is the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And one of the things about being the reincarnation of somebody famous, particularly somebody that had a reputation like Edgar Cayce and was a sleeping prophet, was... who is that? Wait a second. Let me mute him. There we go. Got him. Is that it's very awkward with other people to have been somebody famous. People don't treat you the same way. If you're going to do it, you have to be really detached. You have to have no ego about being somebody famous. And, when I met David, he was vacillating in between putting up all these channelings and being a metaphysical journalist and a discloser of things, of the secret agendas, of secret societies, and putting that out. And to me, I thought that at the time I discovered him, the most important thing he was doing was putting up his channeling sessions from the rock rope, because they were deep, they were wise, they had energy in them, and when I read them, I could feel it. It really moved me. That's why I wrote the book. It doesn't really matter that he was Edgar Cayce, but he was bringing that forward. And, I told him, we had lots of fights when we started the idea of doing the book, because he was not enthused about it. And in fact, because of his own nature, he was having a lot of people accuse him of having a big ego because of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and saying was that. And he may have an ego, but it doesn't really have to do with the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And so when the book came out, David and I essentially went our separate directions, and he didn't want to even publicly address being Edgar Cayce, and he stopped putting his channelings out. And partially, he felt that he would get more attention from the public by doing what he's doing, and he probably did. And so I held the banner of putting out the messages that he was coming through with at that time, which was probably 1999 to 2000. And so if he's talking about it, that's good. He knows he is. There's no doubt in his mind that he was Edgar Cayce. And it's very interesting. It's been very interesting for me to have studied Edgar Cayce tremendously and then know David personally, and this has happened with a number of people who had prominent past lives that I happened to know who they were and who they are now, and how who they were is still in who they are, but they're not the same person. Every life is its own creation. And so you are in the process of creating yourself. And the things you did in the past are like part of your toolbox. You can draw on them. If If you were an artist, you would have the potential to be an artist. If you were a musician, you'd have the potential to be a musician. If you're one of those people that had lots and lots of lifetimes, you have lots of different potentials, but there is no requirement of which potential you are supposed to draw on for this lifetime. That becomes a matter of chance, synchronicity, who you meet, etc., etc. And so, does that answer? Does that address your comment?
Yes, that's really good. Yeah.
See, another thing that was happening with David, which I understand, because Edgar Casey was so accurate and precise and developed such a track record. And through David, they were saying things like both Casey and Wilcock both had messages from what they call negative sources. And that was my first time to start learning about that particular process or aspect, that just because somebody channels does not mean that everything they say is perfect. In fact, it can be highly imperfect because they're hearing a voice in their head and they may not be sure where it's coming from. And they think the same voice that spoke to them yesterday is the one that's speaking to them today. And in fact, it could have shifted. It could have shifted. And it often does shift. Let me see here. Somebody's making noise. There we go. It often does shift, and you can have a totally service-to-self trickster entity coming through and saying that they're the Elohim or anybody. And then there's precautions to do to minimize the possibilities of that happening. And one of the precautions, this is, you know, when you're observing other people, this is stuff to build in to your observations. You know, Carla Ruckert came into our call for 5 years, and she channeled one of the most epic things in the history of channeling, which was called the raw material. And the raw group was telling her how to tune. Tuning was tuning into their frequency, because when you tune, you minimize the potential of getting a negative source. And essentially, tuning, to put it in my language, is creating a group energy with some people that can hold the space, because it takes a group to hold the space. It's not just one person. And if one person is doing it, there is a really good chance of a negative source coming through. But two or three people can hold the energy that is big enough for a group soul to come through. So Casey himself, I don't know if he understood this principle, but he did create that around him. He had his wife and his transcriber. I think, what's her name? Gladys, I forget her name, but there were two women that were always around Casey. Plus, there was a group that formed around Casey called the Search for God group. And they would be present when he was doing sessions. And in fact, they would even comment about, we don't want to ask that question, or we don't want to let that source through. So there was a lot of monitoring going on around Casey, and he still got negative sources. So, you know, I should say the one that was called on in the Wilcock channelings was the famous Casey prophecy, where Casey would was saying that California is going to fall in the blink of an eye, Tokyo is going to fall, Europe's going to fall, there's going to be earthquakes, watch for this, and that will be a sign. And, man, that became Casey's most quoted work. And everyone was waiting for this thing to happen. And through Wilcock, they said that prophecy came from a negative source. And then I researched it, and it was a different source than normally came through Casey. And the reason that prophecy was put in there was one was to create fear, and the other was to discredit the positive stuff that Casey did by having this spurious prediction that didn't happen. And third, that maybe if they made the prediction, it would happen. They could create enough energy to create a, you know, a consciousness to bring it about. So channeling, you see, you cannot give up your power ever, 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 ever. You're sovereign. And we are lucky enough to have Terry, who has an extremely high intent, to have me, who's like a, has to be like a pit bull holding the space, and to have all of you holding the space, because all of you are helping to hold the space of a group energy, which creates the highest chance we're going to get positive stuff and a lot of protection around the work. It's kind of like the Search for God group. And this all kind of just evolved very much spontaneously over years, because I didn't understand all this when we started. And I was nervous about getting a negative source. And Wilcock tends to be a loner, as far as I know, with regards to channeling. He didn't let anyone close to him, although I did one session, which, if you get the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, returnofedgar.com, I have that session included, and it's a 45-minute session on the shift. But I think David was concerned that if he became really famous as a channel, he could bring negative information forward to people that he wouldn't know he was doing. And I think that's one of the reasons that when the book came out, he took a great deal of reserve about being Casey. But the interesting thing is, as I've observed him over the years, it's like there's aspects of him that are still putting out wrong information. Like, I heard this in my dreams, and he's made a number of prophecies that didn't happen. And so he goes out on a limb to do that. And I'm not sure why he does it, but he does. So, Robert, I'm giving you probably more than you bargained for.
No, it's interesting.
It's interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why channeling is so tricky, because you look for the perfect channel, and then you ask me, could you tell me if so-and-so is positive or negative? And then you ask them, could you tell me if Lynn is positive or negative? And which one? You can't use channeling. This is why questions have to be so importantly crafted, or as close as possible, because you can't use channeling to take other people's inventory. And if you ask the wrong questions, you really increase your chances of bringing in a negative source, okay? So, I mean, Carla, or Don Elkins, and Carla decided that the safest way to ask questions was to ask questions that were universal truths, where the answer would be true 10,000 years from now as now, okay? When you ask questions of the moment, like, are we going to have an earthquake in California? Or is this going to happen? Or you ask for prophetic information, you are increasing your chances of negative sources. For example, what I've learned is that there's simultaneous timelines going on, and each timeline has its set of prophecies to it. And the timeline that predominates are the ones that hold. So when you start focusing on prophecies from another timeline, a lower timeline, you have to move into the energies of that timeline, and then you get a negative source from that timeline, but you don't know it. A negative source doesn't come in unless you're a rock star with showing Illuminati hand signs. You know, a negative source doesn't come in telling you they're negative. They have to look positive in order to gain influence at all. And
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since you are the reincarnation of...
Now, wait a second. Don't even talk about that.
Why?
I'm meeting you, Marilyn. Okay. I'm not talking about who I'm the reincarnation of, okay? I do not want to talk about that, at least in a public way on the air. It's just, it creates problems for me, you know? I'm just a dodo. Yeah, I had some prominent wives, and I probably had wives that helped me learn how to do what I'm doing now. But what was that? And that I didn't know it. I didn't know that, but it unfolded. But, you know, it's, in general, I understand exactly why David doesn't want to be so thought of as the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. If I thought it would help my work, I would talk about it. But otherwise, I don't think it would. It's too controversial. And, you know... Yeah,
and I got a question on that topic. Do you think past life regression would be useful for a lot of people? As far as certainly you'd know that you've lived before, you know, and death isn't the end. And do you think that would help most people?
Don, was it you? Was it you who was doing past life regressions? Not you, was it?
No.
It was. No. Wait a second. I know who it was. There's a guy in our group that lives in Livermore. I know. Rich, and he was doing them, and I was going to evaluate it, because he was doing them willing to do some for free for people, but I haven't got around to it. Rich, if you're listening, you're not disregarded, okay? But is past life regression good? Here is what I think about anything. Any modality is good if the person doing it is holding the energy of the law of one. If they have become sufficiently evolved, not just to hypnotize you, but to hold a loving space where you totally feel safe. Because otherwise... you're moving yourself into a situation where that person's consciousness is going to be projected into you under hypnosis. And depending on what they're holding in their consciousness, could transfer to you. So you have to be very careful about who you would pick as a regressionist, in my opinion. Now, you may end up picking someone that doesn't fit that criteria, and they may say something which is mind-blowing. I mean, I happen to have a past life revealed to me 35 years ago that was very profound for me to look at it. It was a lifetime as a troubadour, and I knew the guy was right. I knew it. Because I had written a song which described the same past life, which I thought was a fantasy. And it kind of blew my mind because it totally convinced me that that reincarnation was real, okay? And, but in any case, with any modality...
Do you think that gives you more of a tangible feeling for past lives and reincarnation than just like an intellectual...
Well, you know what? He was going through talking to me about all the people that were in this life that were from that lifetime. And I knew what happened with all those people. He went into a lot of detail about it. He didn't just say it was a troubadour. He told me the whole story of that lifetime and said I was duplicating the patterns of that lifetime in this lifetime. And so... I looked at my father in a different way and different people in my life in different ways because I understood at a very deep level what we did that lifetime, and I could feel the energy of how that traveled forth into this lifetime. You know, it is amazing when you can do that, when you can get that experience, because you really are the same soul in all these lifetimes, even though you don't remember them. And when you know you are somebody and you know the experiences, you can see why you made certain choices this lifetime, which seemed perhaps totally frivolous at the time. Why didn't I make that choice? So, you know, it's not, in my opinion, I would look for the highest, most expanded, most loving hypnotist I could find if I wanted to get hypnotized to find out about past lives, okay? And does that help, Don?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I know oftentimes when people ask questions to our sources about their past lives, they kind of get, sometimes they'll go into it a little bit, but they usually kind of work around it. They say, well, look into yourself, look at the patterns you have, because, you know, your mind is so... You know, when you know you're somebody, it's just kind of like if everyone here knew I was somebody famous, they would send me a projection that I would feel of being that person. And I have to work around that projection, okay? So it's like, you know, knowing you were somebody, even whatever, can start a projection in your mind you keep dwelling on, which ends up being negative rather than positive. So it's, you know, again, it's how you use it, okay? It's like get into the depths of your patterns and see what is the root cause, and invariably you'll end up in a past lifetime somewhere. Okay, we're running out of time, okay? And I should have called this Ask When, right? But Terry's being very quiet. Last time we did an open mic, everyone was totally silly, okay? Now, does anyone else have something that they're chomping at the bit to say?
This is May from Concord. Has anybody ever asked the Ra group or in a past life how they built the pyramids and all the other big structures around our planet Earth during our time?
Oh, yeah, we know all that.
Oh, I missed that one. I'm sorry.
Did you read Edgar Cayce very much?
No, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, essentially, again... When you're dealing with information like this, it's kind of like, and particularly if it came from a channel source, you'd have to say, okay, Did I get a negative source? Did I get the right information? Okay, I believe this is the right information because it actually came through both Edgar Cayce and Carla Ruckert that the rock group. If you haven't read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and you're dizzy, you should read it because the rock group was very grounded compared to the Elohim group, and connecting with them helps to ground you. But the Ra group built the pyramids by levitation in partnership with an early lifetime of Edgar Cayce, 10,000 BC. And it's interesting because that came up independently both in the Edgar Cayce readings and in the Carla Ruckert readings. And so, since the pyramids are a mystery about how they could move the rocks and how they could build them, it sounds like it's as good an explanation as any, okay? And we've asked a lot of questions about the pyramids. And, I do have this workshop called The Egyptian Connection. And if you get that workshop, I talk about a past life of mine, one of them, which I don't usually refer to on the air. But you can look at it under egypt.intelligent-infinity.com, and if you are interested in Egypt, it means you probably had a reincarnation there, or you had an incarnation there. And listening to that workshop can wake up things on a cellular level. Any more? We're running out of time. What do we got? 7:58. We're probably off of BBS. I think we better stop. But thank you all. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, all the people that did the greetings. And we'll talk to you Wednesday. Keep in mind, the number's different on Wednesday. I said it earlier in the call. Watch your emails in case anything else changes. So we get there. And we're muted. So... We're unmuted.